I'm chatting today with Professor Brian Draper, who is the clinical lead of the Academic Department for Old Age Psychiatry at the Prince of Wales and Prince Henry Hospitals in Sydney. Professor Draper, thanks very much for your time.
A pleasure to talk with you.
You've written something for the MJA on older doctors and retirement. Are doctors working longer than the usual retirement age?
For a long time, doctors have tended to retire later in life than the general community. That's certainly been the case for many years. But what generally seems to be happening is that as the baby boomer generation itself as a whole is retiring a little bit later, doctors are further delaying their retirement on the whole. So we're seeing more and more doctors work beyond the age of 75, and that's an evolving change.
What is it about baby boomers?
I'm not entirely sure why baby boomers in general are working later, but they are. It may have something in part to do with how much they've put away in savings. It may have part and something to do with perception, or a correct perception, that they're actually healthier than their past generations. And so therefore don't necessarily feel that they have to retire at traditional retirement ages.
There's been some research, certainly, that the Medical Board of Australia is supporting, suggesting that the older a doctor gets, the more chance there is that they will not be performing at their best. Do you hold with that?
Well, I think any age-related changes will affect professions, whatever your profession is. Doesn't really matter. There are going to be age-related changes that are partly health and partly due to general effects of ageing. And some of those changes will affect your ability to do different things. It doesn't mean that holus bolus people of an older age can't do things, but they're at higher risk of not being able to do things as well as they used to. So there's nothing particularly unusual about that concept. I don't think there's nothing particularly medical about that. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
So if you have a combination of more and more older doctors, then and that are getting certainly over the age of 75, you're going to have increasing numbers who perhaps whose health in general may not be up to them working in the way they used to. The other aspect is, have they kept up with what's going on in the profession in general? It's a fast changing world.
It is, yes.
And it may be that it's not so much about continuing to work. It just might be that as you get older, you have to change the way you work. So there are certain capacities and skills that erode much slower than others. And so your general expertise, knowledge, ability to mentor, ability to give guidance and leadership, etc., the wisdom, if you like, of the profession is something that's going to be retained much more than perhaps the fine, combed skills of, say, being a surgeon who has to, have a steady hand, etc. So there are different things that people can do a bit better than others at different ages.
Are doctors preparing themselves for retirement?
Not enough, perhaps. I think in the issue that I wrote, the editorial commentary paper that's published really indicated there was a high number of doctors who hadn't really been thinking of retirement. And I think really I changed the terminology slightly in the sense that I think it's career planning, which we all should be doing from the outset of our career. And so these I think break down into three broad areas. First is, and no particular order, first is to look after your health. Looking after your own health is something that you really got to start doing relatively early. And that means obviously doing things such as making sure you have your own GP, making sure that you do get your regular checkups. I mean, doctors are terrible at this in many cases. And
yes.
So this is something we have to learn, to look after ourselves. Second area is broadly making sure, and again, this should probably start early, is that we have to be careful about our finance. A lot of doctors might earn a lot of money, but a lot of doctors actually don't necessarily plan how they use that money and can get very surprised when they get towards an age where they might be thinking of retirement to work out they actually don't have as much as they thought they did. Financial planning is something that has to happen from an earlier age. And I think, doctors who are able to have superannuation, especially those who are in the public sector who get employee contributions, are often in a slightly better circumstance in that regard than doctors who might earn more on the surface, but if they haven't put aside their own future superannuation type plans, then they may not be in as good a position. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue. So that's the second issue, financial security. Now the third issue is making sure that your life isn't just about medicine,
right,
that you've got a broader a range of interests. You look after your relationships, you have your pastimes, your hobbies, etc., and you keep at them, and you look after within that, and partly related to health, of course, you look after your physical fitness, and all of that again, all of those things become very important towards the end of your career. But really, these are things that start earlier in your career.
There's been a lot of talk about burnout and stress and depression amongst medical students, young doctors. Young doctors and trainees and registrars and students have to work so hard to get through the process that very often they're shutting out a lot of things that other people would be doing, like forming good relationships, marriages, having kids. Does that make doctors particularly vulnerable to suddenly discovering they're 55 with no family or a broken marriage, etc.? Does that make doctors particularly vulnerable?
Yeah, I think the medical profession certainly was no different. When I trained, a kind of unfortunately have accepted long working hours, a lot of demands upon your time, very difficult studying circumstance, lots of very difficult study for 6 years as an under, just to become a doctor, and then another 6 to 8 years or more to become a GP or a specialist. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of time of your life that it's spent studying and working along at the same time. So these are, that's a huge challenge for people, and we've tended to minimise that too much, I think. And of course, it has impacts, and it has many impacts to younger doctors and students, but all through one's career. So I don't think we've ever grasped pressures we put ourselves under particularly well.
Do we train students about this? Do we give them education about self-care?
We do, but maybe not enough. I mean, more is needed.
Yep.
And this is an area that's evolving. And I know certainly at my university and at Sydney University, there are efforts being made to try to address this. But it's and have been for a long time. But I guess what's become more recognised in more recent years is the depth and extent of the issue. And I think, as I said, I think it was always there, but I don't think it was so openly talked about as it is now, and I think the responses of the faculties are much more on a basis of understanding there is a problem, a real problem that has to be addressed.
Is there a point in a doctor's career where it's too late to change things?
I don't think there's ever a point that it's too late to change things. It's a bit like when people, as people age, to varying extents may or may not look after their health. What we've learnt with older people is that even if a person has had an unhealthy lifestyle for most of their life, you can still make healthy lifestyle changes in late life that have benefits. Maybe they're not as much as their benefits would have been if they did it 10, 20, 30 years before, but there's still benefits. So the same thing applies to doctors. If a doctor has gone through their career and not been doing things that are helpful for them to retire and to enjoy life in retirement, they can still make changes and that will benefit them. And so it's never too late to make some changes.
What role does revalidation play in all of this? I mean, this is a topic that's pretty hot amongst doctors at the moment. Is there some benefit in the revalidation process for doctors approaching the latter part of their careers?
I think potentially there is. I think we all, as professionals, all through our career, need to ensure they're up to date. So I that's why I stress this. All of these things, I think, are career-long ways of managing a career. So that, in a sense, I talked about health, relationships, and pastimes, and financial security. Well, the fourth part is maintaining your competence.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change. Now, some doctors have been doing excellent ways of keeping up and making sure they're abreast of what's going on. But unfortunately, in all professions it's the case, there would be some people who have not really done that. And our revalidation can allow doctors, by to actually ease more into what they have to know. If they are doing the kind of process, peer review style processes and 360, you know, type of evaluations of what they're doing, they can pick up on maybe areas where they might be slipping much earlier and make change. In addition to that, they can start looking at their career so that maybe they can get feedback. Well, you know, maybe, you know, at your age or your health status, you could slightly change your practice and keep working. So, you know, as I said, some doctors when they're older may be better suited to a different style of practice than when they're a bit younger. And I think by easing doctors or any profession through the different, you know, different aspects of a career, it keeps productive people in the workforce for longer. There's been a bit of research, not specifically in medicine, but in general in the workplace, looking at older workers. And in general, it seems to show that older workers are more productive than younger workers. It's unlikely that, you know, that's not the case in medicine too.
Yeah.
And I guess it's about experience and being able to know how to do things a bit quicker and a bit more assuredly. Yeah, that's obviously counterbalanced with making sure that they're up to date.
If you had a magic wand and you could wave it and change one really big thing, what would you change in this field?
It would be along the line of having people, try to help people understand that, in a sense, when we're talking about retirement, we are only talking about one life stage. And so to do that in isolation is probably not the way to go. So helping people appreciate that really we're talking about life and career planning, and that I think it's always problematic when retirement sort of pops up, say, you know, at the age of 60, 65, whatever age it pops up, and it sort of comes out of nowhere. One, we're thinking your life through, you know, you sort of have a general sense of what you might want to do. It evolves, it will change. For example, you know, my mother reminds me that I said when I was in my 20s that I would certainly retire by the time I'm 50, 55, which certainly has never even occurred to me when I got anywhere near those sort of ages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but things change, but they change hopefully because you've been thinking about it and you've been working through why you'd want to do it differently. So I think careers need to have a kind, and life in general, I think, need to have a kind of a long-term kind of view and not just sort of brief reaction to a situation or an age or an event. A lot of older doctors are actually key parts of the workforce.
Absolutely.
So it's important that we work on ways of retaining those elements but helping people retain their work, place in the workforce in a way that keeping up with their own, you know, skills, and so that the work they do reflects what they're able.
Brian, thank you very much for your time. I know you're really busy, so I appreciate it.
Pleasure.